walking up here, I was trying not to fall because my pants had come unhemmed in the choir, and I noticed I kept stepping on something. I was like, if I fall, I'll be just like my brother. He fell 5 years ago, and he still can't hear it down. So I was taking big boy steps, so to speak. I definitely don't want to be like my brother. I'm just kidding. I have to pick on him. No, Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. Andrew, would you hand me my phone? Thank you. Get me a timer set real fast. Luke chapter number 15, if you found your place, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter number 15, we'll start in verse number 11. Luke 15, verse number 11, the Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, and neither transgressed I any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. Let's go to the Word in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for all you've done, Lord. The opportunity to meet here, God, I thank you for saving me, Lord, and I thank you for all you've done, Lord. God, I pray you please, Lord, help me, Lord, to get this across to them as you gave it to me, Lord. I pray if there's one in here that might be, Lord, out of your will, or God, we have any prodigals in here, or maybe anybody like the brother in here, God, I pray you would just help us, God. I pray you help us to take this message and apply it to our lives. We thank you and praise you for all you've done, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the majority of my message is going to be introduction, and it's going to be a long introduction and a short message, so if you would bear with me. Now, this story of the prodigal son is a very familiar story. We've probably heard it read 1,000 times, but I'm just going to give you what the Lord gave me. It starts in verse number 11. It says, "And he said, A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger brothers the younger son, gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. I see in verse 13 that he thought there was somewhere better to be than the father's house. He thought that if he left the father's house, he'd have it better somewhere else. He thought, if I can just get to that far country, I'm sure it looked very good to him from afar off. He probably think, man, I just want to go there. I want to get out from my father's will. I want to do my own thing. I want to be my own person. And he probably thought it was going to be better there, but we know, we've read this story many times. It wasn't better for him. I see, he thought it'd be better somewhere else. And he asked the father for his substance. It says, verse 13, it says, and not many days after, the younger son, gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. Now what I've seen, I've been saved for about 10.5 years, and what I've seen is not only do people decide they're going to leave the house of God and leave the will of the Lord, but they decide they're going to take their substance and they're going to waste it. I've seen many people that had the talent to sing. I've seen many people that even had the talent of preaching, has many, many talents they could have used to the Lord. But instead of using them for the Lord, they went out there and they wasted their talents for nothing. That word waste means if I order me a big old plate of food and I'll eat about like half of it and I throw the rest away, that means I wasted it. Something good is all gone, just got threw away when it could have been a help to somebody else. That's basically what wasted means. And I see a lot of times there's people, they go out and they waste their substance when they could have used it for the Lord and could have used it to help somebody else. Verse 14, the Bible says, and we had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Verse 14, I see that he didn't have the food he needed. When he left the father's house, he didn't have the food he needed. And you better mark it down, when you leave the house of God, you're not going to have the spiritual food you need, and you're going to be starving spiritually. It's just common sense. If I go out and I leave my physical house and I waste all my money, then I have no other way of making money, then I'm probably going to get skinnier than I already am. Some of y'all's like, how's that possible? Yeah, whatever. But, it's just honest truth. We're going to get skinnier, and next thing you know, you might even die from hunger. But, I see spiritually, if we decide we're going to leave the house of God, we're going to leave the will of God, you might die of spiritual hunger. You ain't going to have the food you need. Verse 15, the Bible says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. I see when the money was gone and he had begun to be hungry, you can't find anybody. I'm sure he had a lot of people with him when he was buying. If I say, hey, we're going to Cracker Barrel after service, I'm buying, I'm sure most of you would probably want to come. But hey, whenever I'm not buying, I'm sure only my friends would probably come. And he's, now that he's out of money and he can't buy the food, and when he can't give everybody a good time with his own money, where's those so-called friends at? He ends up having to join himself to a citizen of that country. It says, verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen in that country. And what did that citizen do? And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Can I tell you, and spiritually in the house of God, if we was hungry, our friends, I'm sure they would do anything and everything in our church family to get us good food. They would buy us a good hearty meal. But can I say, the moment you leave this church, the moment you leave your church and you leave the will of God and you go out in the world and you get hungry, they're not going to give you a big hearty meal. No, they're going to send you out there to the swine to eat the husk. Verse 16, the Bible says, and he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I'm just going to be honest with you. The Lord, God's been good in my life. I can honestly say that. I have no needs tonight. I'm not hungry. I hate probably way too much. But if I was to stand up here and say, I'm really hungry and I do not want to eat the husk of swine, I don't want to eat pig's food, so to speak, would somebody buy me a meal? I'm sure everybody would break their neck to get me some food. But it says right here, and no man gave unto him. In that far country, no man was even willing to give unto him. He would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Verse 17, the Bible says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I see right there, I see a conviction. I see he realizes there ain't nothing in that world, in that far country for him, that it can't satisfy his needs. So he decides he's going to go home to the Father's house. Verse 18, the Bible says, I will arise and go to my Father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Verse 18, I see the repentance. 19 says, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father, but when he is yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I see in verse 20, I see that if we take a step toward God in our sin, he'll take a bigger step toward us. He'll come running to us. I see all we got to do, we got to take a step toward him and he'll come running to us. See verse 21, the Bible says, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. I see that the father forgave him. You know, I'm glad in times of my life where I was stupid and I got out and I did some sin, the father was willing to forgive me. All I had to do was ask. I see right there that robe. You can look at this the way you want. But I see that robe to me. I see it as a type of forgiveness. I see that robe as he puts him on him. I'm sure he come back from that far country with scars. Scars that, you know, he probably didn't want people to see, because this is what happens. People have been like, well, how'd you get that scar? And how'd you get that scar? And how'd you get that scar? And he would have to tell them, you know, one day I was stupid. I decided I was going to leave the father's house where I had it good. I never went hungry. And one day I decided I was going to go waste my substance in a far country. And it was just a constant reminder. But I see it says, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. I see that robe covered the scars. I want to thank the Lord personally for that robe of forgiveness, that I have scars in my life of sins I've done, but that forgiveness covers it. And you know, I'm sure the father, you know how he got that robe, right? He had to pay for it. And you know how we get forgiveness? It had to be paid for. Somebody had to labor for it. And I'm glad that one day my Lord and Savior died on the cross for my sins, so that I am forgiven with the Father. I see it was paid for by him. How did he pay for it though? I know that we said he had to labor for it, and just like our Heavenly Father had to labor for it, I see when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, he done two things. He secured salvation and he supplied fellowship. All we have to do is ask for forgiveness and we'll have fellowship with the Father. I just want to thank him for the forgiveness in my life. Verse 23 says, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Now I know the Bible says the reason that, if we read on down, the reason they brought out that fatted calf was to celebrate. And that's good, and I believe we should celebrate when prodigals come home. You know, I believe another reason was he didn't just bring a regular calf, but he brought the fatted calf, was because he knew his son was hungry. He probably came home skinny and anorexic looking, come home, looked like he starved to death, like he hadn't had a meal. I just believe that father's like, you know what? A cow would suffice, but let's bring the fat one over here. Let's get him all good and full. And I'm glad that when I come back to the Father's house, so to speak, spiritually, he's got a meal waiting for me, one that'll fill me up. I see in verse 24, it says, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now that was my introduction. I just want to say right there that if you're in the far country, so to speak, the Lord wants you to come back home, and he will forgive you. I promise you that if you just ask him to. Now that was the introduction to my message, and I hope that if there's any prodigals in here that they would get right with God. But here's what I really want to deal with. This is what the Lord laid on my heart. I just want to preach for a little bit on this simple thought. Why our prodigals won't come home? Why our prodigals won't come home? We see in verse 24, I'm going to read the rest of this story and then I'll give you some things on it and I'll be done. It says, verse 25, now his elder brother was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots," there he goes bringing up his past, "thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." I just want to give you a few simple things and I'll be out of the way. I've got about five things I want to give you and I'm going to get out of the way. I see, first off, why our prodigals won't come home. It's simply their past. They have those scars, and the devil keeps using them and telling them, "Well, you've done this and that, and what will they think if you come back to church?" I want to just read two passages of Scripture. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Galatians 6:1-3 says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one, as in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." I see right there, if you're a prodigal in here and you're worried about coming home because you're past, I just want to tell you, that's Bible right there. The Lord will forgive you of your sins. But not only that, but if we're where we're supposed to be with the Lord, you'll get restored. Second thing I want to see here is their peripheral, or peripheral, however you say that word. And what that means is basically your side vision. Like if I'm standing right here, I can see the preacher through my peripheral vision. Now, what I mean by that is, I'll get to that later. What I mean by that is peripheral as in when a prodigal does decide to come back to church and they're walking around and they see old so-and-so pointing at them and whispering about them and maybe cutting them mean looks and thinking, "Well, what is he doing here? Or what is he doing?" You know, that's the peripheral. That's the second reason they won't come home, is because Sister Jabberjaw and Brother So-and-so decide they're going to whisper about a prodigal that the Father's forgiven, yet they won't forgive themselves. See, secondly, they won't come home because their peripheral vision. They see people. They know what it's like. And hey, can I say, it's the devil is so bad that if the prodigal come in, and I was to whisper to somebody about something, I don't know, whisper to them about the choir or anything like that, the devil's probably going to tell them over there's talking about you. They're talking about how you went out and sinned and how you didn't get right. Now you left and now you're nothing. That's what the devil's going to do. James 1:26 says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain." I mean, it says it all right there. I don't even have to comment on that. My, should we bridle our tongue? I would hate to know that it would make me feel better to talk about somebody else. You know, there's people like that. I've been around people like that. It seemed like all they would do is run people down, like it would make them feel better about themselves. Third thing I see is the reason our prodigals won't come home is we don't pray. It's as simple as that. We may say, you know, come on Sunday and come on Wednesday, "Lord, let so-and-so come back in church." And that's the last you mentioned them to them about God. Mentioned them to God is just that one time. The third reason is because we don't pray. I see in 1 John 14:13 says, "And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." You know, I think our church is a great example. There's probably 3 or 4 people that were prodigals that came back home. And I thank God for them. If I ever hear anybody talking about them, I'm not going to do anything wicked, I hope. But I tell you what, I'm going to tell them they need to stop, because there ain't nothing more precious than when somebody decides they're going to come back to the Father's house. Hey, how much do we pray for our prodigals? I've got one on my mind right now. I'm looking through here, which I ain't got the best vision in the world, but I don't think he's here. I invited him to church, and I was hoping he'd come, and he's out in the far country right now. And you know, sometimes I'll think, you know, it'd be nice for him to get back in church, but then the Lord just tells me, well, how much you pray for him. There's a lot of people. I'm thinking of people in my family. I'm thinking of people I know that they're prodigals, and I'm like, well, why ain't they coming back to church? It's just as simple as we don't pray for them. Let me go back on my timer. I've got a minute 34. Let's finish this up. Fourth thing I see is we don't practice what we preach. Titus 1:16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work reprobate. We go through here and we talk a big talk, and we, you know, we think we're all that in a bag of chips. We got our two-piece suit on, and you know, we think that, well, we're better than the prodigals because we never left home and we never done this. But really, on the inside, we're three times more wicked than they ever were. Hey, can I just say right here, the reason they won't come home is because we got hypocrites in our churches. We got people, they won't practice what they preach. If I had a dollar for every time somebody has told me, well, I'm not coming back to that church because so-and-so. And I'm not condoning excuses by any means. If they really wanted to go to church, they wouldn't let that hinder them. But I'm just saying, I've heard many times people saying, I'm not coming back to church because, oh, so-and-so. My prayer and your prayer should be, Lord, help us not to be a stumbling block. Help us to practice what we preach. Final thing, and I'm done. Fifth reason on why our prodigals won't come home is our lack of persistence. I'm going to close with this. A lot of times our prodigals won't come home just simply because we give up on them. We invite them maybe one time a year and we think we're something. We think we're holier than thou. God say we're supposed to be persistent. We're not supposed to give up on them. It probably means the world for them, for you to reach out to them and say, hey, I want you to come back to church and I want you to do this. I'm sure I've got friends that were prodigals, and I'm not going to do this. But if I was to get them to stand up, and I was to interview them, and I was to say, did it help if somebody tried, you know, that was persistent in trying to get you back in church? Did it help if somebody wouldn't stay off your case? Did it help if somebody treated you like you was something and acted like they actually wanted you back in church? They'd probably all say, yes, it did help. I just want to close in this. The reason our prodigals won't come on, we need to be more prodigal oriented as a people of God. We need to realize they need our prayers. They need us to be persistent. They need us more than we know. And I pray that we would be more toward them, and I pray we'd pray toward them, and I pray if there's one in here that's a prodigal, that you would come back home. That's all I got, preacher.
Aren't you glad the prodigal had a place to come back to?